100 Word Stories.
Hello, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast. One a day until the day I die.com. And it's your freaking problem. Weekly challenge. Topic is order. Muncie, Jeffrey, Charlie, Lizzie, Richard, Serendipity, Tura, Tom, Norval Joe, Planet Z. Keep reading the same names over and over again, it seems. Although you can throw in a Zachman and sometimes a Spate, and Animal was back last week, and a few here and a few there, and shows how dedicated you folks are. Despite the fact that NaNoWriMo is going on, you're writing thousands and thousands of words a day, and just carve out 100. Doesn't have to make sense. Please? After 10 years, I'm not going to beg. Not going to beg for writing, for comments. If you want to write, write. If you don't, don't. If you want to do something else, if you want to write poetry, if you want to, I don't know, write on pizza and eat it, be my guest. As long as you're creating, inspiring, and if you're a brain surgeon, surgeon on brains. Heal people, that's more important. So if you're writing, instead of, I don't know, processing some person's papers to get into a university so that they can do wonderful things, put the story aside and focus on that young, bright light of hope. And then write your story. So, it's all about priorities. How about we get right to it after my babble for 2 minutes? Here's Muncie.
Greetings, nanoids. Once more from Muncie, poking my head out of his writing cavern, seeing his shadow, delivering a 100-word story, and going back into hiding, signifying that, yes, there will be 3 more weeks of NaNoWriMo. Order by Christopher Monroe. I believe there is a fundamental order to the universe, by which I mean that everything in the universe has a certain specific order. Linear time, I mean. I believe in linear time. Yes, I'm aware that there are theories to account for the notion that time does not occur in a linear fashion, but while I find them fascinating to consider, each in their turn, I couldn't speak to the likelihood of any of their truth. I don't have the background necessary. But I don't begrudge said theory's existence. After all, in an orderly universe, everything has its place. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. So it ends, nanoids, for you, though not for me, for I have promises to keep and words to write before I sleep. Ooh, that's a good line. I wonder if anyone's used it already.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 498 on the topic of order. My first story is called The Verdict. The jury filed in, stone-faced. None would make eye contact with the defendant. The judge asked the forewoman, "Have you reached a unanimous verdict?" She said yes. "On the charge of capital murder, what is the decision of the jury?" "Not guilty, Your Honor." The courtroom erupted. Friends of the victim shouted in disbelief, while friends of the defendant shouted in glee. "What in the court?" demanded the bailiff, to little effect. "You're free to go," the judge told the defendant. "Thank you, Your Honor. May I say a few words?" The judge nodded. "I want to thank the jury. Despite my obvious guilt, you bleeding hearts acquitted me so I can kill again. Thanks, suckers." And my second story is called The Natural Order of Things. I kept the car at a steady 10 miles per hour over the speed limit. Lily drummed her fingers but said nothing. "Yes," I prompted. I wasn't going to say anything, but since you asked, do you really need to drive that fast? Not really sure, but it's quite possible that I do. Do you have another question? I think you get three. Are you going to be like this all weekend with my parents? Almost assuredly. You have one more. Make it a good one. Why is it that you always end up driving, anyway? Ah, that one I can answer. It's the natural order of things. Man was meant to drive. Woman was meant to sit in the passenger seat and complain. I was still expounding on the theme when I lost control of the car and hit the guardrail. Well, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good day. Charlie on topic. Order. I placed my order online. Using my IPAD, I punched in size, toppings, extra toppings, and type of crust, followed by my credit card number and address. I included the address with the cross street and the GPS coordinates. I asked for the preferred delivery time and the precautions that the delivery should take in my neighborhood. I mentioned the other delivery drones that work the neighborhood and the apartment complex, cautioning them about the two apartment blocks that frequently shoot down or drone jack any delivery vehicles. The last four digits of my social security card completed the transaction. Second, given the order by the office to attend to Mrs. Rummage, I was charged with attending to her personal needs as my first assignment. I was an in-home, part-time care nurse. Mrs. R. was ill, having relapsed, as a recovering cancer patient. She was very polite and patient. My duties included personal care and making meals, minor cleaning, answering the phone, and snooping in her bureau drawers, refrigerator, and her medicine cabinet. We discussed a lot of personal things, and she told me that she only had one child, as dwarfism ran in the family on her husband's side. Third, I like to afford order to my home and studio. Things are arranged in large, plastic bins, if they are large, and in old, all toys, TM, tins, if they are small. I have a large and multifarious collection of electronic parts, watch parts, desert dioramas, and human teeth. The teeth are carefully packed in cotton and are divided into molars, incisors, canines, and premolars. Dentists have asked me for consultations, and I make a nice little income by sharing my collection and knowledge. None of my friends are amused by my collection, but dentists and tooth fetishists appreciate my unique services.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. That's not the right order, the man repeated. His team ignored him. They wanted to solve the puzzle of the box quickly to move on to the next task and win the TV show challenge. Isn't this a team effort? He complained. They clicked and rotated the sides of the box randomly. Ugh, you've already tried that. Suddenly, they heard a click. Everyone froze. There's a good click, and there's a bad click. Which one do you guys think this was? The box slowly unfolded to reveal a bright light. A bad click. The show was suspended. The TV station closed. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcock.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hello, everybody. This is Richard, and this week I'm just a bit late with my submission, which means I'm going to end up in the nether regions of the podcast. Let's hope I survive. This is my story. It's called linguistics. They say that English is a difficult language to learn, but I have to disagree. Having spent a good many years now learning to speak a wide variety of languages other than my own, I can confidently say that English is pretty simple compared to some. There's no complications with tonality. No clicks or whistles, and once you get the hang of the relatively straightforward grammatical rules, the only real difficulty is one of contextualizing the meanings of similar-sounding words. Of course, I'm a native English speaker. For foreigners, it's tricky to words really in the get order, right? There you go. That's my story. That's me done. So until next week, goodbye.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week. Are you ready to order now? The waitress was obviously growing impatient. I'd been at my table for over an hour, and I hadn't yet decided what to have. I asked her what she'd recommend. She suggested the steak. I ordered medium rare, with peppercorn sauce, onion rings, chips and vegetables. She was right. It was a decent meal, and I was glad I'd taken her advice. After all, your last meal should be a good one. I looked around the crowded restaurant, estimating the body count before starting the timer on the device. Unfortunately, no time for a coffee.
Tura Brazoino here with a story on the subject, order. He stands before me, anxiously proffering his peppers. I make a show of inspecting them closely, dragging the moment out. Finally, I divagate on his hopes. Your peppers are not in order. He gabbles of his wife and children. I gesture to the soldiers to remove him. He will be handed to whatever faction's tinpot colonel first shows up to arrest deserters. His wife will exhaust her money on useless bribes. Then I will take her and give her children over to the men. Here, at this shithole of a border crossing, I am God. There is no finer pleasure.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got updates. Story average, a solid 16.21. Story total, 8,068. Movement. Charlie enters the top 40, passing TJ, Terrence, and Fricker. Welcome back, Anima and Danny. Both are closing in on TJ and Cliff. Lizzie goes double gold, while Phil is four away from quad gold. Serendipity is five shy from double iron. Richard is 6 weeks from becoming the 8th Iron Monkey, surpassing Zachman. Lizzie is 2 weeks from becoming the 12th Iron Monkey, and 4 from taking the 11th. Personal milestone. This week I post my 600th story to the weekly challenge. Whoa. And my story for you this evening is called, If You Can't Take the Heat. In my 20s, my sister got me a job working as a short order cook. It was your basic bar and grill fare. Sandwiches, french fries, soup. At first, I was inept. Orders backed up, and I was running my ass off trying to get the food ready. Not having a background in food prep, I had no idea that prep is everything. When I figured that out, order replaced chaos. Further, I started tracking the different sandwich orders daily and grouped them together. Sometimes, like Kevin Spacey in American Beauty, I long for those days working in the bar and grill. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com and of the YA Books podcast. This is my entry for the weekly challenge number 498 with a prompt of order. Here's my story. Rick Racker, owner of the Bust-A-Gut 24-hour gym, knocked on the door of Durgle's van. Durgle looked at his watch. 1:30 a.m. What does Rick want? I've got some people you should meet, Rick said, when he rolled down the window. Come back into the gym. Rick showed Durgle to a back room, where five figures bent around a table, each wearing bike shorts, sleeveless muscle shirts, and brown hoods over their heads. They turned as one and peered through their eye holes at Durgle. Mr. Vanderhunt, I introduce you to the secret order of the unarticulated armadillo. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
For a while, it looked like every show on broadcast television would be a spin-off of Law & Order, CSI, or NCIS. Even on PBS, for a pledge you could get coffee mugs and tote bags with Richard Belzer's character on them. The networks tried to revive and reboot a few old series, but the only ones that worked were Battle of the Network Stars and Celebrity Apprentice. Those shows ended up featuring actors from Law & Order, CSI, and NCIS. Not that anyone noticed. By then, everyone was watching Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon. Or sleeping. People still do that?
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of order. Next week, deck. I said deck, right? OneADayUntilTheDayIDie.com. Leave your comments in the posts or share socially or any of that stuff. I don't know. Do what you normally do, which is write stories. Read them. Listen. Stuff. Things. All right. I will see y'all next week. Until then, thank you for being a part of the weekly challenge. And, as always, keep it brief.